feel like Britney Spears today. I might just have to break out in song with this one. No, no, I don't. I'm sorry, that's... You don't need to hear that any louder than what it is. Okay, can we open up in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good and amazing God. We love you. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would rest on each and every one of us here today, and that we would leave here feeling refreshed and renewed. Thank you for who you are, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I feel really far away. Okay, we're going to be looking at a lady who is known for her teaching, her leadership, and her ability to work as part of a team. And she comes as part of a duo. She's incredible, and her name is Priscilla. I have titled my little sermon with the title 100%. This will become clear as you listen on. So if you turn with me to Acts 18, if you have a Bible, 1 to 3. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. The reason I chose to look at Priscilla today was because her story resonates with me. There are slight similarities being church planting, but she's just one of my heroes in the Bible. I love her. I think she's awesome and she is amazing. And I think we can learn loads from her. And so that's what I thought I'd share with you today. Her and her husband Aquila planted churches together. They were a team, and they were an amazing team. To me, Priscilla comes across as being courageous, fearless, confident, loving, faithful, loyal, passionate, wise, educated, knowledgeable, trustworthy, hospitable, supportive, and honourable. She's pretty cool. She's pretty cool. I love her. So let's look at them as a couple. Aquila bearing a Roman name, Eagle, and Priscilla, who has a Roman name, Prisca. I found it difficult to mention one without mentioning them both, because in scripture, you can't separate them. They're a team. It's impossible. Everywhere I've looked in scripture when I was trying to prepare this, I couldn't find one mentioned without the other. They're never separated. They're spoken by name on 6 separate occasions. Out of those 6, Priscilla is actually mentioned first in order 4 of those times. So that alone, after all the things that John has been teaching for the past few weeks, that alone tells me that the Bible I read and that you read celebrates women. Celebrates women. We're awesome. And so this woman, Priscilla, is mentioned 4 out of those 6 times. There are various reasons why this could be. Some suggest that she was more important than her husband through Christian point of view. Possibly having more knowledge of scripture, but mostly through the research I've done, is she plays an important Christian leadership role. So her name is mentioned first, I believe personally, and through what I've looked at, is because of her Christian leadership skills. She was, out of the couple, the natural leader. As I am, of course. Yeah. So watch this space. off track. It is also suggested that she possibly comes from a more distinguished family than her husband's, even though his family would have been possibly high in the Roman army, because his name means eagle. And so on the shields, actually there is an emblem of an eagle. And so that suggests, when you look back in the history, that his family were high commanders in the Roman army. This couple became well-travelled, well-known, and well-respected in Christian circles. No, I was going to make a joke on him. They landed... I'm going to behave today. They landed in Corinth, then moved with Paul to Ephesus, and then ended up back in their native homeland, Rome. They originally came from Italy as victims of the Roman persecution, not because of their Christian faith, but actually because they were Jewish. There was rioting going on, and it was pretty messy. I don't know if they were involved in it or not, but it wasn't good. And so they were kicked out. There was an edict on the Jews by Emperor Claudius. He said, either leave or I will persecute you. So they made the wisest choice and they left. It's believed that even though Claudius expelled all the Jews, it wasn't actually carried out effectively, because over the time, the Jewish population over time started to trickle back into Rome. Even, because this is important, I'm sharing this, because Priscilla and Aquila ended up back in Rome because they're really feisty. And they ended up leading a house church there. So they arrived in Corinth to set up a tent-making business. So they obviously come from a place of money, because they own their own business. And when Paul arrived from Athens, it was with that trade, his trade, that God used to bring them together. How awesome is that? Like, they didn't know the plan, but the Lord knew the plan. And they actually used his business, or his gifting, and their business, and brought them together to make an amazing change, an amazing difference. Because when Paul arrived in Corinth, he had had a really, really, really tough time. He had been persecuted, he had been imprisoned, he had been beaten for what he believed in. So when he arrived in Corinth, he was absolutely exhausted. He was tired. And what do they do when he meets them? They invite him to live with them. So their hospitality is amazing. They open up their home to him and they give him a job. Again, they obviously are from a good background if they can afford to pay Paul. This then enables Paul to earn money and to go on to do what he loves most of all, and that's celebrating Jesus, telling people about Jesus, and planting churches. We're going to look at three things that this couple excelled in. One of them is friendship. Paul worked during the week with Priscilla and Aquila, making tents with them. But on the Sabbath, the weekends, he was a preacher. He went into the synagogues and he preached. He was bivocational. Woohoo! Shout out for the bivocational pastors in this room. So he was bivocational. Nobody knows what that means. Rabbis back in the time were not given a wage. They weren't respected enough to be paid for what they'd done. So they had to work. And to work, they needed to have income to continue to fund what they loved doing. So he was bivocational. We find in Romans chapter 16... 3, that Paul refers to Priscilla and Aquila as my helpers in Christ Jesus. The word helper here doesn't refer to them as helping them in the tent business. It's not linked to their work at all. The helper here means co-workers. So not Aquila and Paul were co-workers. Actually, Priscilla and Aquila were co-workers or co-laborers for Jesus Christ. So there again, here's Paul again celebrating women. He's celebrating this couple and he sees them as equal, which is mind-blowing for me because when I was brought up, I was brought up in a traditional church when I was younger and women never were up in church. I never saw that. And I always had the impression that it was the man's job to do that. And women just kind of, oh, sure, you're the pastor's wife. There you go. You go make tea. And that's what I thought it was. And then I joined Vineyard when I was about 14. And I've never looked back. And so when I read stuff like this and I see how Paul just loved the women, he loved using their giftings and their qualities. So Paul found in Priscilla and Aquila friends that helped him financially. They helped him by paying him, by giving him work, but also, much, much more importantly, they helped him spiritually by joining him in sharing the message of Christ. They were a spiritual breath of fresh air. And Paul really needed that. He needed that due to what he had just came out of. He needed just to be able to do that. This couple were most definitely put in Paul's life for a reason. And God always knows what we need in our lives and often meets those needs by sending people into our lives when we need them the most. And some of you guys are that to us. We came here as a family of five, knowing absolutely nobody. And the Lord sent yous and put yous in our life. And we are so honoured to be able to call yous friends. We love that. So thank you. Because it's huge. It's really important to have that. And Paul had that in them. People that bring refreshment, encouragement, joy and friendship. And that was this amazing couple. They oozed that. They were so amazing at friendship. The second thing that they excelled at was teaching. Paul lived with Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth for a whole year and a half, roughly, before they moved to Ephesus. Now, Aquila and Priscilla could have just stayed in Corinth. They were probably settled. Their business was probably booming. And they could have went, yeah, see you later, good luck with that. But they didn't. They followed Paul and they went on this journey with him. I love that. I love how, again, after leaving Rome, they are willing to leave Corinth and follow Paul. So there's that friendship and that support again. It was here where they encountered this character. His name's Apollos. Just as God brought this couple into the life of Paul, they brought this couple into the life of Apollos. Apollos needed them. He probably didn't even know actually how much he needed them, but he really needed them. Let's read Acts 18. 24 to 28. Oh, thank you so much. I was actually up most of the night sneezing and coughing. And so my mouth is really dry because I think I'm coming down with something. Thank you. Okay, 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately, or some things say more perfectly. How awesome is that? When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him, and they wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now, he wouldn't have done that if he hadn't met this couple. Apollos had become a follower of Christ under their ministry. Jesus had become a follower of Christ under the ministry of John the Baptist. So that meant he was around and he was taught and knew the message of forgiveness that John the Baptist taught. But then it just stopped at that. It stopped. So this couple came along and they helped him learn more. He went on to become an incredibly gifted speaker, well-respected and fantastic at articulating the scriptures. He had a real massive name amongst Christians, and he was actually sought after. He was good, but he wasn't always that knowledgeable, and at that point is when Priscilla and Aquila came in to the equation. And he was a skilled speaker. He was an educated man. He was a deep scholar. But there were things about the Bible that he just didn't understand. That's where Priscilla and Aquila stepped up. What he was teaching was spot on. It was perfect what he was saying. It wasn't blasphemy. It wasn't bad. But it was just missing holes. He didn't have a full knowledge of the scriptures that he needed to continue to go on and tell people about Christ. He preached with fervor, but it all stopped with the baptism of John. There was no preaching on the cross or on Christ crucified or Jesus being raised from the dead. And there was no preaching on the Holy Spirit. It all stopped at John. He had zeal, but he lacked spiritual knowledge. So Priscilla and Aquila, in love, after hearing him speak, take him and educate him in a better understanding of Jesus. They explained the scriptures to him, which tells us that they knew the word of God incredibly well. Probably again Priscilla, because she is the one that is mentioned first when you read about this part. So she was incredible at her scriptures, and the knowledge was just mind-blowing, because that is a gift that she had. They helped fill in the theological gaps. They explained the word of God more perfectly to him. They didn't embarrass him in front of everyone when he was preaching, and they didn't holler and call out and shame him. They didn't have this holier-than-thou attitude. And I've met people like that, and it's not nice. It's not nice. But they approached him in a loving, humble, and thoughtful way. They took him unto them. I love that. They invited him to come to their home. They said something like this, probably. Hey, we loved your message this morning. That was pretty amazing. But you know what? Why don't you come back to our house and we'll have a wee chat over dinner. Have a good feed. He obviously was Vineyard, because liked the food, so it must have been Vineyard went way back. Definitely. Aquila and Priscilla obviously started the Vineyard there. So they met and they had a good feed and they became friends. They lovingly taught him, gently sharing about what Jesus meant to them and what Jesus had done. And they filled in the missing parts of his theology. The impact of that dinner changed Apollos forever. Wow. That just blows my mind. Like, they just come, again, God just brings them to this man. God knew that he needed the help because God saw the potential in him. And out comes this amazing couple who turn up and change his whole life. I believe that he would point to that everything from that evening, he would point that everything as a life-changing moment from the moment they met and had dinner together. Because if you go on to read, Apollos went on and done amazing things, which he couldn't have done if he hadn't met this couple, if Priscilla hadn't taught him and educated him in the way of Christ. I love that, because some people here don't even realize what you have to offer. You don't realize what you have to give to people and how you can change people's lives by doing the slightest thing. So good. Apollos went on, returning to the synagogue to tell all the Jews the rest of the story. Oh, I love that. Love that. Telling them of Christ and how he was crucified. God took two people, tent makers by trade, and used them in an unexpected way to impact this person's life for the better. Guys, you don't have to be a minister or a pastor to impact people's lives. You can't use that as an excuse. I'm sorry. It's going to put you on the spot and make you work for it. You can't use that as an excuse. You're part of the kingdom. These guys were tent makers. And they impacted this man's life hugely. You guys can do the same. You don't need to be stood in church. It's in your private lives that you have that same authority. No more excuses. You have to get out there and you have to do it. It's great fun. When we think about this couple and how helpful they were to these men of God, we need to think about how we can impact and be helpful to others that we know and that we don't know. They never knew Paul and they never knew Apollos. Are we the kind of people that help and encourage others, building them up and celebrating their achievements? Or do we judge, gossip, slander, look at people's faults and point them out and be incredibly negative? We're not perfect. John and I are far from perfect. Be aware of your speech and be aware of your attitude, because it's so easy to look from the outside in and judge. It's so easy to point the finger and say, John said he would do this and Charlene said they would do this, and they're not doing that. And Julie and Alan, well, man, the list is long. Seriously? But, you know, it's very easy to point at people and look at their failings. Why not say, do you know what? See the bit that you done. That was absolutely amazing. I am just so honored and privileged to call you our friends or our pastors or our leaders, our family, and see the things that people aren't so good at. Pray for it. Take it home personally. Don't talk to John or Frank or Betty next to you and say, hear how they said that. Oh, I don't know about that. They said they would be on time and they're 10 minutes late. Oh, that coffee is really bad. John's got the cheap stuff in. Scottish. We all know John would never do that, obviously. It's coffee. But, you know, people are so quick to jump and to judge. We need to stop it. And do you know who the worst people are? And I'm sorry I have to say this. Christians. Christians I have met time and time and time again are just not great at encouraging. I don't know why that is, because that's not the characteristic of Christ. If we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I see amazing characteristics there. And, you know, maybe we should be going back to that and just reminding ourselves what the fruit of the Spirit is. We need to stop being harsh. Other characteristics of this couple is that no matter where they were living, they were willing to serve Jesus. They were faithful in God's work. They weren't afraid to serve. Did you know that God wants you to be part of that team that serves? He has a role specifically for you. You need to ask yourself, what am I doing for God? What am I willing to sacrifice? I mean, you get Christians to turn up and go, do you know what? I turn up to, like, seriously, two services on a Sunday. I mean, that is hard work. My goodness. I don't know if I could do any more commitment than that. Ah, you can. Step it up. It's good. It's fun. And it shapes you. What am I doing for God? Can you improve in that area? Can you step it up? Because this couple could. My word, they gave 100%. They done something and they done it well. What part are you playing in the kingdom of God? Just something to think about. And just know that God has a plan and a place for each one of us to serve in. And serve in a good attitude. Do you know what? Just because you're doing tea and coffee, welcoming, kids ministry, cleaning, just suck it up and serve. I mean, and it sounds harsh saying that, but we're a family. I'm a mummy. I do 5 million things before I even get out of bed in the morning. It's part of a role that I took on. I chose to be a parent. So that just comes with it. You choose to be a Christian. Serving comes with that. Your attitude needs to be positive. You can't complain all the time. Well, I'm not doing it because I'm doing like four things already. See Sandra over there. She doesn't even help. Gotta worry about Sandra. You don't have to. You just worry about serving and serving with a really good heart and a really good attitude. Because do you know what? The Lord will honor you in that. Because it's not about what other people see. It's about what's in here. These guys did that, and they did that so incredibly well. Priscilla and Aquila were teachers. They were church planters. They were helpers, friends and servants. And the list could go on. They were also willing to sacrifice their lives. In Romans 14:4, Paul mentions that they risked their lives. I don't know how. I've tried looking it up. I don't know how and what they done to put their life for Paul. But they done it and it blew his mind. He was blown away. Man, this couple is totally awesome. Again, it's sacrifice, serve and sacrifice. They sacrifice so much. I would have loved to have spent some time with this couple because they are true heroes. The last thing that they excelled at is church. They were helpful to the men of God. They were faithful to the work of God and committed themselves to the church of God. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, it says this. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. And we also read in Romans 16:5, greet also the church that meets in their house. I love this because they're like church planters. I love this. And I love that she's like the leader. How cool. I mean, obviously they're doing it together because they complement each other. But her giftings have been recognized here. And I love that she's a female church planter. I just think this is awesome. They return home to Rome after spending years away. And what do they do first? They plant a church. They they seem fearless. They were booted out by this fella who obviously has issues. And a few years back, they're back in Rome having a home church. So things must have died down in Rome for them to be able to go back and plant in Rome. But after they planted in Rome, because they're super busy, these people, they're back in Ephesus again. And Paul didn't even know they'd gone back to Ephesus, because he greets them and he's like, oh, hey there, you're back in Ephesus. He sounds surprised when he's writing that. So why were they back in Ephesus? So they've gone from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus, back to Rome, and back to Ephesus. So again, that gives you the idea that they had money. Their business was well. And they were able to use what they made to do church stuff. They were tent makers. Like, there's people here that are classroom assistants, that work in hairdressing and teach and lecture. There's people here that do healthy eating. There's people here that do gardening. There's people that work in offices. There's people that work within the community. Oh, you have an amazing door-opening opportunity to the kingdom, to doing the stuff. Because they done it, and if they can do it, we can do it. Because sure, we need to learn from what's in the Bible. Do what it says, read it and do what it says. We can do this. This couple blessed others wherever they went. They were a blessing to the church and they built up the church. So good. They built up the church and they were a blessing to the church. Church is really important. Church isn't the building. It's not the Sunday morning or the Sunday evening. Church is every day. It's our everyday life. That's what church is. We can't just be Christians on a Sunday. Here is a couple that just didn't give up. They were hardworking, they loved God, and they were passionate about what they did. Out of their uncertain circumstances came a new adventure that they had never planned. They'd never imagined, probably, quite the impact that they would have. God put the right people in their paths, and they were the right people in others' paths. He used them to change lives forever. And do you know what they probably done? Paid attention. They paid attention. And God wants us to pay attention. The one who pays attention today is the one who follows God's instruction for the day. So as we get into God's word and his word gets into us, as we obey God's instruction for today, God will give us his discernment for his direction for tomorrow. We just need to listen and we just need to pay attention. Then we need to walk it out. Take risks, trust, be brave, be confident. The Father has amazing plans for our lives. We just need to step into those plans. Ultimately, Priscilla and Aquila were a team. That's what they were. They were a team. They complemented each other in the calling that was on their lives. It's not about one being more superior than the other. And it's all about celebrating their differences, giftings, and their willingness to work together. God didn't make man to overpower women, and God didn't make women to undermine men. God made man and woman so we can complement each other, so we can celebrate our differences. John has been teaching on women. But it's not actually about women's Leben. It's about working as a team. And we say all the time, teamwork makes the dream work. If you want to see something work, we just need to do it as a team. We need to let the irritating things about each other just fall to the ground and say, do you know what? I need to let that go. I need to forgive and I need to move on because we're a team here. John and I are so honoured that we have an amazing team around us. We are like so honoured. And when we came to Church Plant, you know our story, we had nobody. No one came with us, it was just our family. But the Lord honoured us in that. And he will honour you when you start taking that risk and start stepping out in faith. You're the only one that can change your perspective on things, your attitude on things. You're the only ones. You can sit and say, woe is me, and life's tough. Or you can just brush yourself down and get on with it. This couple must have brushed themselves down an awful lot because they got on with it and they done it well. They done it so well. And I just want to personally say thank you to everybody here for the encouragement and the love and the support, because yous have been like Priscilla and Aquila to us, and we are so thankful for that and we love it. So thank you. Let's stand. Yeah, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for making us equal. Lord, and we are sorry for our attitudes. We're sorry for not always taking that step and walking out our faith with you. We're sorry, Lord, that sometimes we get caught up in things that distract us from why we're here in the first place. Lord, I ask that you would bless each and every one of us as we leave here today. That God, you would pour out your extravagant favor on our lives. You would give us that courage and that fearlessness. Lord, help us to help others. Help us to make a difference. We love you. And it's all about you. Do you know what, God? It's all about you and it's not about us.